Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We've been asked to share with you a little bit about the DR and our son and his family's calling to be missionaries there. And as I start this morning, I want to read this verse. It may not make a lot of sense to you, but hopefully at the end it will. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You're going to hear from two perspectives this morning, one from the father, grandfather perspective, and then the one that's most important, the mother, grandmother perspective. So I'm going to try and keep my comments brief where you can hear more from Donna this morning. When it comes to my children waiting lane, I've always prayed this prayer, that they would know God's will for their life and that they would be found in it. Always prayed that for them. But the night when Wade and Casey shared with us that God was calling their family to full-time mission service in the DR, my first thought was, God's calling you and Casey, right? not the grandkids. But it was a call to the family, and you could see the excitement and joy in their faces. And while they were full of joy and excitement, I'm going to be honest with you, I was stunned. And I went from being stunned to feeling numb to being ashamed. Cal, I found my deacon certificate. We were ordained January the 5th, 1986. So I've been a deacon, if my math is right, 36 years. Somebody will check me on that. And I've also taught Sunday school about that many years as well. And yet, I was ashamed. And I was ashamed because I didn't feel the joy that they were feeling. So my prayer changed to, Father, please give me a portion of the joy that my grandkids have for going to the Dominican Republic. Wade and Casey had planned a trip to the DR. It was an 8-day trip, and they asked Donna and I to go. I may use the term doe, because that's what we call her. And we jumped at the chance. He said, I think if you come down here and see where we'll be, what we'll be doing, who the people are that are going to be around us, you'll feel better about the call. So we jumped at the chance to go, and we went to the DR for 8 days. We arrived on Friday, and on Sunday we drove into the city to go worship at the church where they would be attending. And we crossed over the bridge and drove into the city, and I thought, oh my gosh. You see, the DR is like the other Caribbean countries. Once you leave the resort areas and go into other areas and into the cities, there's a lot of poverty. And in some cases, extreme poverty. And then there was the traffic issue. Doe will tell you, I'm not good in traffic. 95% of the people in the DR travel on motorcycles, mopeds, scooters, whatever you want to call them. And they come from any and all directions if you're in a vehicle. Either side, they cut in front of you. If there's any traffic laws in the DR, nobody follows them. So between the poverty I was seeing and the traffic I was experiencing, I remember sitting in that van saying, Lord, this isn't going a long way and giving me any portion of the joy I've been praying for. But we spent the week there. We visited the church. We visited Vision Land, which you'll hear more about. We met the people that Wade and Casey would be serving with, and yet I was still concerned I hadn't experienced the joy that I'd been praying for. Our last day in the DR was Friday before flying out on Saturday, and we had the opportunity to sit down with the pastor and his wife and have lunch, and we had a good time of sharing and discussing, and I don't know who brought it up, but the topic of traffic came up. I don't remember if I did that or somebody else, but the pastor's wife said, oh, I've hit about 8 or 9 of them since we've been here. I've kind of lost count. And what happened at our table was what happened here. It erupted in laughter. And for the first time, I felt the Spirit of the Lord nudge me and say, Mike, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I began to let my guard down. And once I did that, I began to experience a portion of the joy that I'd been praying for. Now, you know, I've used the word portion. From a human standpoint, I've just got to be honest with you, as a father and a grandfather, I still have concerns. But I'm excited for Wade and Casey. I'm excited for the grandchildren. I'm excited about their call to the DR. I can't wait for them to get on the ground and get settled and for us to go back and help them in their mission work. I'm looking forward to that. And I know that it's still going to take a period of continued prayer for me. But I know if God has called them to this, if that's His will for their lives, and they're found in that will, then He's going to be with them through this journey. And I don't have anything to fear or worry about. I just need to continue to let my guard down and keep trusting. So the laughter that occurred at that lunch made a cheerful heart for me, and it was good medicine. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let Doe talk to you a little bit from her heart and her standpoint.
So if you didn't know it before, you'll know it after today, that Mike's the public speaker in our family. And I'm always more than willing for him to speak on my behalf. But the ladies, if you were here Friday night, many of you might say that our daughter-in-law, Casey, might take the top billing in our family, because she was honest, entertaining, and just humble. And it was a special, special time. So, but what I'm led to share with you this morning, like Mike said, is from a mama's perspective. So having him do that for me was a little bit of a stretch, you know. So even for the preacher of announcements, I guess. So, but clearly being behind a podium is not one of my gifts. So in my shaky knees and nervousness, if I refer to Wade in the singular tense, I'm intending that it is Wade and Casey and their family. But I guess I'm asking for forgiveness in the beginning, because after all, he's been my son for almost 40 years now. So, and another reference I might make is Bobby. That's the name our oldest granddaughter, Mason, gave to Mike as his grandpa name. And so I might say Bobby, and I didn't want you guys to think we had a strange man in our family dynamic. So I tend to call him that more than Mike. So it's been about 7 years in the making, God's directive for Wade and his family. There's been so many obvious doors of ministry that opened for them, but there's also been a lot of closed doors as well. And as we look back, we know that each one of those steps forward and two steps back were all a part of God's plan for them. And I remember early on, Wade and Casey were members of Long Hollow Baptist Church in Hendersonville, and they were, their missions ministry required them to complete a course that is equivalent to a graduate credit, because they want to be sure that the people that have a call to the missionary field are sincere, are committed, and so it's one of their requirements. And they came home to us and they were talking about the missionary lingo, and that there were senders and that there were doers. And Bobby and I had just begin praying separately and together. And to be honest, I know that each of us were praying, God, please let them be senders and not goers. So maybe we were trying to bargain more than we were praying. But Wade and Casey knew long before we did that we needed to go to the DR. They were very intentional about showing us the what's, the where's, the who's, the why's of them. And for me, at that time, my mama heart was trying to embrace my spiritual heart. But my human heart just kept getting in the way. So as Mike said, we arrived on Friday night. Saturday was like a catch-up day, and Sunday we went to church. And I think Ellen's going to show a few pictures to show you this is what their church looks like facing the street. And it's in the middle of San Pedro de Marquis is where they're, where we'll be living. And as we drove to the church, we saw walls, we saw concrete slab homes, we saw windows covered with iron bars and motorcycles everywhere. I have to tell you, we saw one motorcycle, and they're like the size of a moped. There were three people, three adults carrying a child in a car seat on a motorcycle. It's what they do. And as Bobby said, he was very stressed in traffic. He was not driving. He was in the back seat. So being a back seat driver is part of that. But Wade was calm. He wasn't stressed. It just didn't bother him at all. And we saw poverty at every turn. And like Bobby said, the beaches, the resort areas that most people travel to the DR for, this is not where they are, not in this part of town. And my mama heart wasn't kind of, it wasn't all warm and fuzzy at that point. So Sunday morning we made it to church, and we entered the church for worship. And as soon as we walked in, I felt reverence. We were welcomed with smiles because we could not communicate in the language. But I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that I was not expecting as when I walked in. We began singing praises, worship songs. We read from the same Bible. We heard the pastor preach the sermon. And I liken it to in the New Testament, in Acts, when it talks about the speaking of tongues. I don't think, when I've heard that Bible story, I don't think I've ever processed what that meant. But I did that day. We were singing in a different language. We were hearing and reading, not in the same language. But we all knew the words. We all knew the story. We all knew what was being said. And it was like a revelation to me. Maybe this is what they're talking about and speaking in tongues. It doesn't matter the language. It's God that makes the difference. So at that point, God strengthened my mama heart. And then right outside of the worship space is the church courts. It's a recreation courts. Right back there to my left of that building will be where clinic, a free clinic for physical therapy that Wade and Casey will minister to patients. And as we were after church, we were walking out, I saw so many Dominicans reach out to them, welcome them, they recognized them, and I even heard a little girl that spoke broken English. She said, "Look, they're back." And they were so comfortable. They were so at ease. They embraced this new environment and this new community, and it was just as if they were home. And it was like God strengthened my mama heart again that this would soon be their new home. And one striking thing, as we rode through the area after church, Wade drove by the Catholic church. And Ellen's going to show you a picture of the Catholic Church. It's beautiful. It's white. It's pristine. The architecture is amazing. But it's empty. There's no one there. It's like it's there for you just to look at. And it's like the impoverished Dominican at the average Dominican doesn't feel worthy to step inside that building. And so my mama heart was convicted in a big way. The Mercy Workshop, part of the ministry, is located upstairs on the church grounds, and this is the part of the ministry that Casey will work with. And we met Wanda. This is Wanda and my middle granddaughter, Mills. Wanda's a Dominican woman who's been rescued from the streets, which, like many others, for some women, it's their only way to provide for their children. And their ministry, this jewelry ministry, goes out on the streets, meets these women where they are, and offer the light of Jesus to help turn their life around. Wanda learned the craft of making the jewelry, some of the jewelry that we have on. She's providing wages to help feed her family, and she's learning about the saving grace that only Jesus can give her. Her smile was just, oh, so contagious. And knowing where she came from and where I saw her on that day, it helped. It brought peace to my mama heart, for sure. And it's through those jewelry sales, and I just want to share with you ladies that were here Friday night. Casey sent me a text last night, and she was so excited that she was sending a check to Mercy Workshop, just shy of $1,400 that you women bought jewelry Friday night. So I just thank you so much. Talk about blessing a mama heart. You guys were a big part in that. And then we toured the school that our grandchildren will be attending. The name of it is Las Palmas, which means the palms. It's a private Christian school. It's a picture of our three grands in front. And it's a partner of the ministry. But one of the stories that they told us about the school, I just have to share it with you because it's a no way but God story. This building, this property, was a vacation home for a wealthy family that lived in Texas. And about the same time that they had decided they wanted to sell, the ministry was looking for property to build or house a school. And obviously that was God's plan in motion. And so when they decided on a selling price, the ministry got their financials together. They were meeting to close on the property transaction. And the matriarch of the family brought her tax and estate attorney with her and said, we're sorry. We have just gone to every extent that we can to make this deal happen. But it's just gonna put such a international tax burden on her that she just can't sell it. And the next words out of the attorney's mouth was, so she wants to donate it. You know, and as I'm hearing the story, I'm thinking they're going to say, sorry. I was never expecting those words, but only God, right? And we met the school administrator, Miss Lynn. There's several teachers there that are donation-supported missionaries as well. And she told us that the Dominican families will pull their money together to send their children to this private school, but they're not sending them there for the Christian part. They're sending them there to learn the English language. They look at the English language as being their ticket out of poverty. So she says, we don't care what gets them here. When they get here is when we're going to share Jesus with them all along the way. So my grandmama heart was soothed then. And just so you know, I threw this picture in there. This is a picture of Jumbo, not Jumbo, but Jumbo. and it's the equivalent of Walmart. So, and just like ours, it's not a fun place to go, for sure. Yeah, we did not want to go back there. So another arm of the ministry is called Vision Land. The ministry was able to purchase 46 acres of land in a rural area. But what's interesting, dictated by the DR law, is when you purchase a property, you have to build a wall around it. A wall around 46 acres. It was something that they had not expected. Before any development could happen, they had to build that wall. And the wall is to keep out the population that maybe are homeless, where they won't make camp there. And there's a women's, watch this video real quick. That's the soccer field and the baseball fields that are there in Vision Land. This is Madden running around the bases, you know, like kids like to do. And he's not very fast. He's pretty slow. But as he rounds third base, I hope you can see, they turn, there's part of the wall, and they turned part of the cinder blocks in the middle to form shape of a cross. And that covers the entire wall that surrounds the property. Yeah, look at Matt, and I think he needs conditioning. He just fell. Yeah. But I wanted to show that so you could see the wall. The wall, even though it was something they had to do to keep people out, but to put the cross on there was just, it was just amazing for me. There's also a safe house on the property. That's a picture of the safe house. It's over in the corner, and it's where they house young girls, 18 and under, that are in an otherwise abusive environment, and they need protection. They need solitude. They need to be pulled away from their situation, and this is where they house them. And it's amazing. The soccer and the baseball fields, the recreation ministry, obviously, is how they're going to reach out to children and their families. And Brother Cal, the current couple that's there, and you and Susan, they reminded me of your mom and dad. They're at the end, closing on the end of their mission service, and they're coming home to their children and their grandchildren. They were sharing with us while they were there the grandchildren's lives, part that they had missed. And he is head of the recreation ministry, and Wade's going to move into that spot so he can go home to his family and spend the rest of their days there. I know I need to hurry. There's a mission house on the property. This is amazing. This is where Second Mile, it is our hope and our prayer that we can take teams to be housed here. They're building it. One thing that is different about the DR construction is they pay as they build. When they run out of money, they stop building. And there's building structures everywhere. And what a great idea. So that's what they're doing with this. And there's a wing that is to be added that will house 7 bedrooms, house 35 people. So we just hope, and it's their goal to have that completed in 2 to 3 years, and just pray that we can send some teams from Second Mile and we can be staying in that building right there and love on the Dominican people in the way that God would have us. In fact, while we were there, there was a team from Knoxville. It was a youth group that came and helped. So remember the part about the wall that I said really spoke to my heart. Gary Hale, who is the co-founder of the ministry and the pastor, told us this, and it just meant so much to me. He said, "The very wall required for us to build to keep people out, the cross represents the invitation to welcome people in." Just really meant a lot to me. And in that video, that cute little 7-year-old girl at the end of it that walked across, that's our middle granddaughter, Mills. She's the one that She never meets a stranger, and her heart is so big. And she asked me one day, she said, "Doe, did you know that there are kids in the DR that don't even know who Jesus is?" And before I could even answer, she said, "And we get to be the ones to tell them." And I started crying. She said, "Why are you crying?" But obviously, a seven-year-old. God used the words of a seven-year-old to touch my heart. So, in closing, I had asked God for a way to make my mama heart embrace the journey. And he gave me so many. It's what he does. We ask for one thing and he gives us an abundance. He used all these things for my mama heart. So it's both joyful but hard on my heart at the same time. And I'm sure many of you have heard me say, my heart's gonna hurt. But what God overwhelmingly showed me in this trip is that, yes, your heart's gonna hurt. But it's when your heart hurts is when you're closest to me. And he's right. All this has brought me closer to him. And I know he's gonna walk us through. Even though I'm gonna miss him, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the gospel call is theirs to take. And I'm so thankful. Thank you.
We just want to, as we step down, say thank you to our church family for being so supportive of Wade and Casey and their family. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts. And join us in prayer that there'll be a day when we, several of us, can go to the DR and serve as missionaries for a week or so to help them out. Thank you.